The anchor is our Lord Jesus Christ and His precious word. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And while you're turning there, can you do more than one thing at a time? Let's say our memory verse, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once more, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing. All right, just the good-looking people. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing. Michael Brown, you shouldn't have been saying that. I said the good-looking people. All right, all the smart people, here we go. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... All right, very good. Thank you. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3, hopefully you found it by now. I want to read verse 15 and 16. The Bible says this, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." It seems to me that these two verses are indicating a very important point, and that is this: something is quite dangerous if you're not careful with it. Something is quite dangerous if you're not careful with it. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning from these verses on this subject, the most dangerous book in the world. Father, I pray that you'd bless in the moments I have. Help me to say with clarity, and Lord, with the unction and power of the Spirit of God to speak not just to an ear but to an heart. Save the lost, reclaim the backslider, and edify and build your people up. Strengthen us for what we have coming this week in our lives. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to ask you what the most dangerous book in the world, some people might answer a bunch of different things. Some would have different opinions. Perhaps some would say this, maybe Charles Darwin's Origin of the Species, the book that sort of kind of kicked off the whole evolutionary idea so many years ago. And so many things have come that your racism comes from the idea if we came from beasts and we modified ourselves or evolved up, somewhere in that process is some are more evolved than others. Racism is a result of that type of evolutionary thinking. The idea that some peoples can be exterminated, a la Hitler and the Nazis. If the Jewish people are subhuman, it's all right if we exterminate them, put 6 million of them in gas chambers and gas them all and kill them, because you're really just killing vermin. You're killing rats and animals. That's the idea. That's evolutionary thinking. We came from animals. I don't believe that. The Bible teaches we did not come from animals. We came by a direct creative act of Almighty God. And if we are made and created in the image of God, then we're not vermin. We're not rats. And it doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. Doesn't matter what your ethnicity is, you're a child of God created in His image in the sense that we are created beings. Now, you're not saved until you're born again. And so be it, that's not the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. That's not taught in the Bible. But when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you become a child of God. Darwin's book is completely antithetical to that. So understand that that's a dangerous book because of the ideas it put forth. Some people might say the Quran, the famous holy book of the Muslims. My goodness, all that grew out of September the 11th in 2001 is result of that. The ideas put forth in the Quran. Let me read you a couple of statements. The Quran instructs some of the fanatical Muslims to do this: "Then fight and slay the pagans wherever you find them, and seize them, beleaguer them, and lie in wait for them in every stratagem. But if they repent and establish regular prayers and practice regular charity, then open the way for them." In other words, if they convert to being a Muslim, that's all right. Here's another one: "I will instill terror into the hearts of the unbelievers. Smite ye above their necks and smite all their fingertips off them." That's the idea of beheading, smite them above their neck. And so then the idea of so many of the terrorists that are Muslim-oriented, now, not all terrorists are Muslim, but those who are, use this as the backdrop, the inspiration. My point in saying that is this. You would recognize that Darwin's book is a dangerous book. You'd probably recognize that the Quran could be a dangerous book. And I could go on down the line with some of the books that the cults have put out. But I suggest to you that the thing you got in your lap today, the Bible, might just be the most dangerous book in the world. You say, why in the world? Well, it says here that if you use it in the wrong way, you could do it to your own destruction. That book you have in your lap is the dynamite of God. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Bible is the power, the dynamite, and the dynamo of God that gets something done. You got saved because the dynamite of God blasted you free from sin and its chains, and you're free now. And if you're under the bondage of the devil, it's your own fault. It's not God's fault. He set you free when you got saved. There is a lot of bondage in the world, but I'm just saying, it's a dangerous book. Mark Twain said this about the Bible. He said, it ain't the parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me, it's the parts that I do understand. He understood that it was dangerous. You get in this book will do some altering of your lifestyle. It will change you in unusual ways. If you take these scriptures, as these verses say, and twist them to say something, rest them to turn them another way, then you can mark this down. It will be to your own destruction. I believe the cults of our day, the Mormons, I believe certainly the Jehovah's Witness. I think some of the false teaching that's in the world out there have taken things and turned it into a works salvation instead of a grace salvation. And if you're trying to be saved by works, you're not going to make it. Salvation is not by works, not by the works of the law which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I believe that it's by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe no flesh shall be justified by the works of the law. We're saved by the grace of God. Aren't you glad for a Bible that is so dangerous to the idea of works, it just shoots it all down and teaches us a salvation by grace? It's a dangerous book in many ways. Some of you will recall a man famous in patriotic circles by the name of Patrick Henry, who famously said this, give me liberty or give me death. But that same man said, not so famously, people don't remark about this much, he said, the Bible is a book worth more than all other books that ever were printed. Well, that doesn't sound like a dangerous book. It is to people that don't like the Bible. It is to people that don't like Jesus. It is to people that don't like God. It is to people that don't like anything about the local church. Abraham Lincoln said, 1864, he said this. He got a Bible. A group of African Americans presented him with a Bible in Baltimore, Maryland. And he said this, in regard to this great book as he held it in his hand, I have but to say it is the best gift God has ever given to men. All the good Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare here and hereafter are to be found portrayed in the Word of God. I like what one preacher said. This is a book, the Bible, is a book that has, as the most dangerous book, it has divided families. It has devastated philosophies. It has destroyed the following of some of the most false religions in the world. It proclaims itself to be superior to science, more honest than historians, and the only firm foundation on which to build our lives and our homes. People have been derided for believing it. They have been attacked for possessing it. They have been jailed for disseminating it. They have been martyred for refusing to deny it. Liberals have loathed it. And courts have outlawed it in places. Politicians run from it. The media scorns it. And yet it stands strong today, as surely as the anchor that Brother Earl sang about earlier. But it is for this world, not for believers, but for this world, it is the most dangerous book in all the world. I challenge people to read the Word of God, because it is a dangerous book. It will change their mind. It'll change their attitudes. It'll change their actions. The Word of God has unique power. I've told this story before, but many years ago I was visiting and I went into a home. There was a young couple there, I guess probably in their late 30s, early 40s, and the older I get, 40 looks so young, I'm telling you right now. But I remember going in there and I was sitting at the kitchen table talking to them. I had my Bible on the table. I had the Bible opened up and I was sharing with them about Jesus and how they could be saved. And then their young son came in the door. His name was Scotty. I still remember him to this day. He came in the door of the kitchen where we were sitting at and he walked in and said, what are y'all doing? just kind of a little bit of an attitude about him. And he came in and said, well, this is the preacher from the church, and he's talking to us, and we're just looking at the Bible. He said, the Bible's full of contradictions. Nothing but a bunch of contradictions, and there's all kind of mistakes and errors and all that kind of stuff in there. And I just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit at the time, and I was just a little bit angry at him for messing up. I was right in the middle of talking to them about the Lord, and I just pushed my Bible across the table where he was standing, and I pushed it over there, and I said, show me one. I said, show me one. Well, they all threw it. Contradictions everywhere. I said, well, I don't want all of them. I just want one. You see, what he had done, he was flapping his jaw, parroting something he had heard somebody else say. He thought there was, he had heard there was, he was convinced, and here's the other thing, he knew if he admitted that this book is an infallible, inerrant, and perfect book, then he'd have to listen to it. I'm convinced that the majority of all these new versions that leave out sinful things and kind of quiet down on preaching against hard sin that's out in the world are meant to water down the Bible so people will be more accepting of it. I don't think we need to water down the Bible. It does not need to be diluted. Let it be in its full force and power, and it can change lives, and it'll expose sin, and it'll correct the attitudes of people. I'm going to cut this down just a little bit for the sake of time, but understand this, that this book is a dangerous book to the world out there. A dangerous book. Oh, you won't find contradictions in it. What I found out, the people who think there's contradictions and errors in the Bible, come to find out when you sit down and study it, the contradiction and errors are in their own mind. Once they see it for what it is and understand it in context, there's difficult places in the Bible, I admit that. There are things in the Bible that have to be explained and looked at in detail, but when you do the research, you find out that the fault lies with man, not with God. This is the only book God ever wrote, and it's dangerous if you ignore the paper. This Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you ignore that, it's a dangerous book. This book cannot be ignored without grave danger to your very soul. You could spend eternity in a place called hell if you ignore the word of the living God. And I don't want to do that. Let me give you real quick. There's a description of the Bible that we could talk about. It is inerrant. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Complete purification. You have the inerrant, no errors. I've mentioned that already. It's also infallible. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. A number of years back, I remember bumper stickers coming out. And the bumper sticker said something like this: God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Now that sounded pretty good at the time, but I think that's incorrect. You see, God's word is settled no matter whether you believe it or I believe it or anybody in the world believes it. So what that ought to say is, God said it, that settled it. Whether we believe it, God has do you understand this, that the Lord has an opinion on things? His opinion is expressed in the Bible. What do you reckon God thinks about it? Does he have an opinion about illicit, immoral activities? I think he does, and I think you find his opinion in the Bible. Does God have an opinion about homosexuality? Sure he does. Now, different preachers got different ideas. Different Christians got different ideas. Different public people out there have different ideas. People in the media, people in Congress. But all of our opinions are beneath the opinion of God. Does God have an opinion about how you live your life? He sure does. And his opinion ought to matter to you more than your spouse, more than your family, more than your preacher. What God thinks about it ought to matter to you more than anybody else. If our politicians believed that what God says about it, we wouldn't be murdering babies. We wouldn't be authorizing infanticide if we believe what the Bible has to say. Can I get an amen somewhere here? I believe the Bible is inerrant, I believe it is infallible, and I also believe it is inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, I know we preachers tend to flap our jaws about just about anything. But the truth is, if we didn't have a Bible, we ain't got nothing to preach. If there ain't a Bible that's inerrant, infallible, and inspired, the missionary has nothing to base his life and ministry on. There's no need to go around the world and spend millions and billions of dollars to spread the gospel if there is no Bible from which to get the gospel. It is also considered immortal. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And by the way, if you look that up, that's a little W, O-R-D-S. He's not talking about the Bible as a whole will survive. He's talking about every individual word in your Bible. God has it not only inspired, I believe He's preserved it. And of course, you know around here, we King James people around here, we believe the Bible's been inspired and preserved for us in our King James 1611 Bible. If you were here last Sunday, you saw my big display of Bibles, my over 300-year-old King James Bible I had out here to show everybody. And you can read that just as plain as day. If you just take a moment and study a little bit, you can read it as plain as day, written from about a sixth grade level. Several of y'all are at that level. Many of you graduated from college or at a sixth grade level. So God wrote a Bible just right there for all of you. So that's a simple description, but I said it's a dangerous book. Well, what's it dangerous to? It's dangerous to your attitude. Psalm 119, I about had to correct some attitudes earlier when my wife got up, but we'll do that and take care of that. We'll take care of that at the house. Too many people are looking to be offended. What do you mean, preacher? There are folks, listen to me now, there are some people that come to church looking for somebody to hurt their feelings so they can have an excuse for not coming to church. They want a preacher to offend them. Oh, did you hear what he said to me? I'm never going back. And then later on, 20 years later, they can blame the preacher. Well, if that preacher hadn't said this to me, I would have not. Now listen, who did you hurt? I'm mad at the preacher. Somebody didn't shake my hand, so I'm just going to sit at the house and pout about it. You ain't hurting the person that you're mad at. Your bitterness is not going to eat them up. It's going to eat you alive. And then 20 years later, you look back and have wasted 20 years of life because you got your feelings hurt. This book's dangerous to people like you. Psalm 119:165 said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Somebody said, well, I went to church and somebody didn't shake my hand. Because you stood in the pew there and wouldn't walk to the other side, it's the same distance from where you're at to them as from them to you. It ain't going to hurt, folks. Listen, I'm telling you, this book is dangerous. You ever had an attitude adjustment? How many of y'all know your husband needs an attitude adjustment? Raise your hand right now. I knew Rosemary's having it. Sarah, Tim, I'm going to tell Tim what you said, Sarah. How many have ever had teenagers to know they need an attitude adjustment about every hour on the hour? Absolutely. Attitude adjustment. Attitude adjustment. Every now and then, we at our Christian school, we have a few kids need an attitude adjustment. Now, they just about got us away from the attitude adjuster called the Board of Education, also known as the paddle, which I still got one in my office. It's really just for admiring now. We don't use it near as much. And you know why we don't? Because parents get their feelings hurt about it. They want us to make the youngins behave, but they don't want us to whoop them. And every now and then, a youngin needs a whooping. Well, you don't have to believe that. The Bible uses, talks about the rod. It don't say, spare the rod, spoil the child. It said, he that hateth his son, spareth the rod. You see, it doesn't do the discipline properly. I believe we need that. And I believe the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Let's bring a youngin up here and let me whoop him right now. I'm just in a mood to whoop somebody. I know I'm going to get a whooping at the house. I'm going to give one before I get it. This book is dangerous to your attitude. I guarantee you, you get a bad attitude, go read the Bible. It'll rebuke you on the spot. You'll try and fight. I'm not going to read that normal place where I know I'm going to read about my attitude. I'm going to come over here and read. And you'll run across something anyway that will put you in your place because of your attitude. Some of you just get your attitude just on Sunday. You'd have a whole better week. But you want to be mad. You want to be offended. You want something to just kind of be stuck in your craw, and you're just bound and determined. Now listen, long time ago, somebody told me this. Listen carefully. Something like anger or a bad attitude will get you in trouble, but pride will keep you there. We don't want to swallow it. This book's dangerous to our activities. Sometimes our flesh wants to watch something maybe on television that's not appropriate. Listen to something that we ought not be. Read something we ought not. Hang around, be involved in something we ought not to. Let me read you what Paul wrote in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I tell you what, this book's dangerous. When we start getting involved in stuff we ought not be involved in, this book will correct us and rebuke us. It's also dangerous to our acquaintances. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Dave Avery and I were talking before church about people that have been behind bars, and the subject of Son of Sam, David Berkowitz, came up. Most everybody in this room has heard of that name and how he terrorized people for so long until he was caught behind bars. Some of you know Brother Dean Herring. His youngest son, Jonathan, corresponded as a pen pal with David Berkowitz behind bars, with him as a pen pal, and trying to find out what really got you involved, what took you down that path. And of the many things that he wrote that he got involved in, he said as a young man, he started hanging around the wrong crowd. You get around the wrong crowd, you start to talk like them, think like them, behave like them, and the next thing you're doing things that's completely opposite from the way you were raised, the way you were trained, what your parents expect of you. And the Bible still said you should obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And it still does say, honor thy father and mother. You obey them when they're there, when they ain't nowhere around, and you should at least honor them then. And I believe it's important. Our acquaintances can mess up our lives. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man. The Bible warns us about our acquaintances. So these are areas in which the Bible is a dangerous book. And finally, I would say this, it's dangerous to our authority. If the Bible is the Word of God, and it is, then evolution's wrong. If the Bible is the Word of God, and it is, then the Sodomites are wrong. If the Bible is the Word of God, and it is, then the new evangelicals who are preaching a false doctrine and a false gospel are wrong. If the Word of God is right, and it is, then those who teach salvation by works are wrong. If the Bible is the Word of God, and it is, then the psychologists who tell us it's all internal, it's all in our mind, are wrong. The Bible is the Word of God, and it is, then the doctors who are killing babies in the wombs are wrong. And I could go on down that list forever. I'll close with this. Years ago, the fellow by the name of Robert Ingersoll, this was back in the late 1800s, Robert Ingersoll traveled around the country lecturing on this topic, the mistakes of Moses. And in his lectures, he earned back in those days $500 a night. That was big change back then. And he did this for all of the blasphemous lectures that he gave. And he said this, one day the Bible would be out of date and gone. Well, today Bob Ingersoll is dead and he's gone. And his name means absolutely nothing. It's only mentioned by a few preachers like me who use it in an illustration. The words that God used Moses to write that Ingersoll said was full of mistakes are still speaking today right here in this book we call the Word of God. And they're not just speaking in a pulpit. They're speaking to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Nobody today would make 50 cents off of saying anything about Robert Ingersoll. He's dead and gone and away. But thank God for his precious word. That will be forever. What's the most dangerous book in the world? The Word of God. Let's stand together.